Mint Mobile.
You going flying now?
The airfield now.
And then Dave over there?
Steve, in a couple days, I am meeting a gentleman named Larry. He's one of the instructors that's been working with me, trying to help me learn to fly my plane.
Deal. Sounds like fun.
Blast. I've enjoyed it.
It's an expensive hobby.
So far, I ain't put a ton into it. You know, it ain't up there with ham radio yet, but it won't take long.
The ham radio seems like you can put as much or as little into it as you want to.
I believe that's true. So right now, I just, you know, I started with an okay budget, and then I figure we'll see where it goes from there.
Main thing is you're getting to have fun. I know we work hard to enjoy life, so I hope you get to have a good time out there this afternoon.
Absolutely. So how's your day been?
Nothing to complain about, really. It just seems off. Let's put it that way, I guess. The customers just seem off and like they're focused on something else.
Me. I mean, the way everything's costing, I mean, everything, diesel, fuel, groceries, everything, just it's super expensive. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if people had other things that they were, you know, kind of focused on and might be ignoring the things that, you know, unfortunately, like tools that they need to get the job done. You know, I don't know. It definitely happened.
The fact that getting really, really hard to get things in a timely manner. Like today, my stuff that I had sold or ordered, only two items were in my box. Where normally that, you know, 2 foot square, 3 foot square box is full.
Good. And the downside is the way things are, if people can get it somewhere quicker, then more than likely they're going to go that route, you know. And I do the same thing, you know, a lot of times if you go somewhere and order it, you're like, nah, I'll just order it myself.
This business is impulse buying, and, you know, I need that right now. Do you have it?
I can believe that. I mean, that's a definite advantage because you pull up, you got the tools right then and there, and you can put it in their hand versus them having to order it and either wait, you know, a day or two to get it. I definitely think that makes a huge difference.
The service we offer, you know, where we come in and take care of, you know, broken tools, any warranty issues or things like that, we take care of them. And that's all the nut holding the steering wheel of the truck is what I tell the guys.
Definitely see that. I don't know, but just the way things are going, you know, it's hard to do certain things. You're always thinking in the back of your mind, you know, is it the right time to buy something? I mean, even like the plane thing was not, you know, it's like, well, I don't want to spend a ton of money, but I also don't want to, you know, not do what I want to do. So, I mean, I could have spent money elsewhere or more, but I did.
A lot of what's going on, people are just actually starting to pay attention and consider what they're spending, which is a good thing. Honestly, I think that's a good thing. But there's repercussions for it.
That, I'll be honest, there's no nothing quick coming, and there ain't no, you know, it's going to stick around for a little while longer.
Speaking of, I've got to go back into a customer from yesterday, so I'm going to run in here and drop this off to him right quick, and I'll be right back, Andrew. KO4HKX, and I'll be on the side for a moment.
3KO4CF, and I'll be standing by.
HKX, never mind. They run to get gas. I'm going to be sitting here for a few minutes.
Oh, boy. That hurts every time you go get fuel. I mean, I wish my truck used gas right now, but I like the diesel.
Did you do any more research on what I told you about?
A few articles on it from places, and all of them are saying the same thing. And, you know, I read that where Love's sent out that memo or email or whatever to their customers, let them know they were, you know, there were definite shortages right now, but they were going to try to, you know, make sure everything kept flowing and hopefully wouldn't have to do any kind of, God, I can't think of the word. Or you basically having to let people get so much fuel at a time. I mean, I hope it don't come down to that. That'll suck.
For me, so I don't know what'll happen. I guess I'll face it when I get there, though, if it happens, comes about like they're talking about.
Andrew, Georgia. Andrew, this is Tom, NZOTR, and my neighbor told me yesterday he has a Dodge truck, pickup truck with four-wheel drive, and he filled the tank up yesterday, and he says, guess what that cost, Tom? I said, I don't have any idea, it's diesel. $220, Patrick.
I spend that in about every 2 days.
It was an article from a place up in North Carolina, and they were talking about how they didn't know if they were going to be able to survive with a small trucking business because of fuel prices.
And the price of cars has went up so dang much, and the availability of cars went up, and the gas crisis could be solved very easily. They was going to have an auction for over 1 million acres there this last week. It was last week, and Biden shut off the auction. He said it wasn't anybody interested, but one of them was the government of Alaska and two other big oil companies that wanted to bid on those leases, and they wouldn't let them. And the ones that have some of those leases, then they got too much red tape once they get past that, and they still can't get their drilling permits. It's pretty sad, guys.
It's and my companies that I deal with that buy bulk fuel right here locally, trucking companies, grading companies, they're struggling to get fuel to run their equipment and their trucks right now.
I mean, at work, we produce a lot of diesel cars for overseas because that's, you know, that's what they primarily use a lot of. And I wonder how much can we get our hands on it? You know, tractor-trailer drivers going to have a hard time.
To fill them tanks up on a tractor-trailer, I don't know what they hold. Probably 300 gallons on a side or something like that, Patrick.
Yeah, you're about 300 gallons a side, so you're talking $1,500 a side to fill that truck up.
I call it every time I hear it.
But we was behind a Chevy Volt a while ago. They don't have much of a range, I don't think. But it's going to be a cold day, you know where, before I buy an electric car. Now, after talking to DJW, I would definitely consider a hybrid in this Avalon. His wife does really well. I was a little leery of it because it's four-cylinder, and I like the horsepower that this one's got, you know. It's got, 265, 285, and it's a six-cylinder. And I believe a little bit of horsepower saves your life. But Dave says that one goes real good, and it's not dual turbocharged or anything. And he knows what horsepower is. He's got a Maxima that's outstanding in horsepower, but I'm not wanting to give that up for an electric car. Gosh, if you ever go cross country, that'd be a real pain to have to stop at those charging stations. And I read someplace the other day that 40% of them are malfunctioned.
When PLC work, you know how that tears up and constantly has hang-ups in it. So it's just a matter of time before they do. But I just don't see that being a long-term feasible option. Because if you're having to charge the car, you're putting more stress on the power grid, and they're already maxed out because they're talking about having problems with rolling brownouts. A along with the gas diesel shortage.
And still, you got to think about the other side of it is what happens 10 years down the road when you got to replace the batteries. We're still not there yet as far as the capacity to recycle batteries. Hybrids, I think those are the better option up front, but I'm not bought into the whole EV thing and having to charge after a couple hundred miles and sit at a charger for 30 minutes to an hour. I just don't see it.
You know, I agree with you 100%, and I ain't going to do it. My son-in-law, when we visited Germany quite a few years ago, he had a BMW diesel over there. And you know, Patrick, usually the first thing is the smell, and I never did. And the next thing is they have a dead band in the acceleration that didn't notice that. That thing ran like a sports car. I didn't even know it was a diesel until we'd been several hundred miles in that thing.
The new little four-cylinder diesels and stuff like that, you get in one of them, it's going to be real hard to tell the difference for you. And to me, a small diesel engine instead of the gas engine would be a better option for the EVs, just for simplicity, for one. And you could take and tune that that diesel engine to run at a constant RPM nonstop and get better fuel mileage and performance out of it than you can the gas.
Diesel cars have made a huge, I mean, they've changed so much over the years. I mean, we've got them at work. When you hear them crank up, you never know it was a diesel at all. I mean, BMW's put a lot of effort into changing it, and then with the AdBlue, I don't really like that stuff. I'm glad my truck don't take it, but it definitely reduces some of the emissions where you can't really tell it's a diesel anymore.
A phone call coming in, Patrick, go ahead. I'm not going to answer it. It's a butt call of some kind.
Right when you're in the middle of a conversation with somebody else. But yeah, the deaf or AdBlue, as you called it, that I run it on the tool truck, and it's annoying, and it adds an extra expense to the vehicle, but it's not like it's the end of the world dealing with it. But there was a time that it got hard to get just recently.
Do for you, Patrick.
Okay. What it does is it's ammonia and water and a certain mixture, and they inject it into the diesel exhaust system, into the particulate filters that have trapped all that black soot, and they superheat it and then inject that ammonia water mixture in there, and it burns it all up and does away with a lot of the NOx gases that diesels produce, because diesel doesn't produce the carbon dioxide like gasoline does. But they have the heavy particulate filters, particles that they have to burn up. So it helps with that. So if you have a clean running diesel engine already and leave it alone and quit putting these tuners and stuff on them and messing with them and keep them running like they're supposed to, they're actually really clean running vehicles. It does affect the fuel mileage some. Typically, you're going to lose about 1 to 2 miles to the gallon off of the fuel mileage, but they're sacrificing that for burning cleaner overall.
Well, that's good. Thanks, Patrick. Go ahead,
Andy. What the real name of it is, Patrick. When it first come out, it was just called urea. And if you break that down a little bit, you just pee in the tank. Well, it's just funny. It's got so many names. When it first come out, it's urea. And a lot of people call it AdBlue, and then it's called DEF, but at the end of the day, it's that ammonia. But, yes, it definitely makes a huge improvement, and when they first started using it at work, you could tell a big difference between the diesels built off of the old style, and then once they started putting the DEF or the AdBlue in it, and it's definitely made a big difference. But, yeah, technology's come a long way in the years, but... Well, gentlemen, I'm about to my destination, so I'm going to say 7-3. Y'all both have a good evening, and hopefully I'll get you again on the radio, KO4CEF, and I'll be clear on your final.
fun out there flying that plane this afternoon.
You're flying there, Patrick.
Getting into the RC planes like Dave and Steve are. He's going to meet a gentleman out there at the field where they fly for some instructions on how to fly one.
I had a buddy back home that was into that and designing them and things like that. But he's getting pretty old now, so I don't know if he still messes with them or not. It wouldn't surprise me any. He was in research and development at this plant, and he went all over the United States to these meets for that. I always wanted to do it, but it was always a little too expensive, and now I couldn't stand there long enough to fly one, I don't think. But it's fascinating to me. I'd like to hear about it, but and Dave's really good at it. You know, he does the programming and things that is just out of this world that very few people would even understand. And the drones, they're something else nowadays. But, I always just like the RC airplanes.
I'll say that's one thing I know absolutely nothing about is RC airplanes. I've always played with RC cars and stuff like that, and even upper-end ones as I've gotten older, but never any planes or the quadcopters or the drones. Never even got into it at all. But it does sound like it would be a lot of fun and appealing other than the expense of getting it started on it.
I have these controllers now that, I'll probably get it backwards, but they're a teaching mode, and if somebody's there holding their, or maybe it's you that holds your finger on the button, I don't know, and when one of the guys releases the button, well, the instructor takes over, and then they have them where they auto-stabilize themselves if you just let off of the button. I've seen them advertised, too. If you get out of control, you just let off, and it stabilizes itself, and then you get it from there. I tried one that Gary designed, my friend up in Kansas, and it was a prototype. And he said, don't worry about it if you crash it. And I said, I probably will. And I flew it quite a little bit, and as I was coming back at me, the controls reversed, you know. And one of the wings fell off. I thought I'd done it. I made a little dipsy dive type thing with it. And he said, nope, that's what we were trying to find out. I broke it.
Hey, Skeks. Well, Tom, my customer has arrived, so I'm going to jump out of here and take care of him. It's good to talk to you this afternoon, and this is KO4 HKEX, and I'll be clear. 73.
73's Patrick, and I am just about to get home here just within a short distance in 0 TR.